Numbers chapter 11 is where we will begin. We're continuing to look at Moses' life, specifically Moses' prayer life. And it's something that if we were to kind of skim through the remainder of Exodus and Leviticus and a lot of Numbers, the pattern that we see is God tells Moses to do something and he obeys, he follows the Lord's command and he sees that it's done. Whether it's setting up the tabernacle, whether it's establishing the priesthood, whether it's directing the people in whatever they are to do, that God commands and he obeys. And just as we saw with Abraham, that if we're to have a relationship with God that's strong, that is blessed, then we recognize he's God, that he commands and we need to obey. That if we disobey, if we wander out of his will, even though it's not that he's going to stomp on us in that sense, we realize that we're not going to have the close relationship that we could have if we walked in obedience with him. And so we see in Numbers chapter 11, and of course, it has not been easy for Moses through this time with the children of Israel. They're always complaining, always trying to say he's not a good leader and things. And we actually find that in Numbers 11, what happened, they complained. They said, well, we want to have flesh to eat. They are frustrated. They are tired of the manna. And we see in Numbers 11 and verse 11, that Moses prays unto the Lord. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thyself, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth a sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh, that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. And you can see with a prayer like this that frustration is mounting, that He's dealt with these people. He's prayed for them. There's different times where the Lord says, well, get out of the way. Let me just destroy them and make of thee a great nation. And he's interceded on their behalf. But now we see that he's tired of dealing with the problems that they have, that they're just a stubborn people. And he doesn't know what to do. He says, I can't do this alone. I can't handle it. It's too much for me. And the thing is, even though we can look at this and we kind of think, well, he's kind of complaining in some ways. It's not necessarily the best prayer. He sort of said, well, if you're going to deal with me this way, Lord, just kill me. I'd rather be dead than have to deal with this anymore. But we see that even though he was kind of struggling with this and we see that at least he went to the right place. He went to the one that he knew had the answers. He said, Lord, I don't know what to do. We see that his dependence upon the Lord, he doesn't rely upon his own skill or ability. He doesn't really feel that he has any. And he relies upon the Lord for solutions. And that's kind of the idea that we know that when the people of the Lord complain and it displeases the Lord, but we see in the Psalms with David how it speaks of how he poured out his complaint unto the Lord. That there's kind of a difference. It's like we talk about God. We say, well, why is God doing this? He's not doing right. It's almost like we're trying to talk bad about God behind his back. And, of course, it's a foolish thing to try to do, and it's displeasing to him. But when we come before the Lord, and you'll see that in the Psalms as well with David, that he says, well, why is this happening? I don't understand. This is hard for me. That he pours out his complaint to the Lord, and it's kind of like he gives it out to the Lord, and then that's the last that it's heard of. He doesn't continue to gripe about it and say, well, tell everyone of how bad the Lord's treated him or anything like that. That he gives it to the Lord and then it's taken care of. And that's what we see with Moses. He gave this to the Lord and the Lord took it care of. We see that the Lord gave him helpers. He said, okay, well, this is too much for you. I'm going to give you 70 men that are godly men, and I'm going to give you some of my spirit upon them so that they can help you in this endeavor, that they can kind of guide you in bearing up these people. And so the Lord provide them with that. The Lord makes provision for the people. And of course, we understand how it was that he gave them what they wanted, but he gave it to them so much that, okay, you want flesh, I'm going to give it to you, not for a couple days, but till it comes out of your nostrils. And it was to show them the error of their ways, get them on the right track again. But then we see, and you'll find that in Numbers, it's, if you look at the kind of the way Numbers is laid out, it's called Numbers because at the beginning of the book, they're all leaving Sinai, they're on their way to the Promised Land, and they number the people, how many each tribe has. And then what happens is they go in the land, they say, no, we don't think that we can. And so the one generation wanders in the wilderness 40 years and perishes. And the next generation comes in. And so we find at the end of Numbers, they number the people again to find how many of each tribe are now going to be going into the land. And so kind of the middle part of Numbers gets to be really a rough time because the people are not serving the Lord and they're getting frustrated with Moses and with God, and it doesn't go well for them. And so we see in Numbers 12 that Miriam and Aaron, Moses' siblings, his older sister, his older brother, spoke against Moses. And they say, has the Lord spoken only by Moses? Hath he not also spoken by us? And the Lord heard it. And we see it says in verse 3, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. The idea of meekness is not where you're a pushover. It's the sense that you remain calm, you remain doing right, even in when someone treats you wrong. That you maintain your character in spite of people treating you unjustly. And we see with it that Moses didn't have to defend himself. And that's sometimes what we think. Someone treats us wrong, well, we gotta show that we're right. We gotta prove the person's wrong in what they say of us. But we see Moses didn't have to say anything, and that's the nature of the relationship that he had with God. And that's what we recognize. If we're close to God, if we're following him, we don't have to worry about defending ourselves, proving ourselves right, justifying what we do, that the Lord will take care of us. And we see with Moses that he speaks to him. He says, he's faithful in all my house, and with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. And we think of that he did, it said of him that he spoke with the Lord as not a man rose like unto Moses whom the Lord knew face to face. And that he saw the similitude of the Lord. He beheld his glory in the Holy Mount. That he had a special relationship with him. He says, wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And we see that the cloud departed and leprous. Miriam was as leprous, as white as snow. But we see that Moses mercifully prayed for his sister. That you think of it, if Moses was vindictive, he could have even rejoiced in this. And that sometimes we even think, well, if someone treats us wrong and something bad happens to him, we should rejoice in that. But that's not the way that it should be. That we pray, we ask for mercy on behalf of others. And that's what he did, and the Lord heard him, that she had to be out of the camp 7 days, but she was brought in again, and the Lord showed mercy. So then we see again, he sent the different tribes into the land, and what happened was, the 10 of the spies brought back an evil report. They said, we can't go up in the land. And we find just their whole thought, well, let's return to Egypt. And we see that Moses and Aaron interceded on behalf of the people. Because the Lord says, how long shall this, is verse 11, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. We see, and Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, and that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people unto the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And we see the Lord heard his prayer. He pardoned according to his word. But we see that that generation which would not believe that God would bless them, that they would not see the land, they would not enter in. The only ones that would be Caleb and Joshua, because they believed in God. And we see that the Lord was, even in wrath, remembered mercy. God did not destroy the entire people, but just that one generation we're going to have to spend time wandering in the wilderness. And so then we see Numbers chapter 16 that the sons of Korah and Dathan and Abiram, that they rise up, and they're murmuring against Moses. They say, well, we have as much right to the priesthood as anyone else. And so we see that they're treating Moses wrong. And we see verse 50, Moses was very wroth and said to the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ash from them, neither have I heard one of them. But Moses knew he had done right. He was asking the Lord to defend him. And we find out that that's exactly what the Lord did, that they spoke against Moses, the man of God. And this picture where you have 250 men, that were chief men, that they all had these 250 censers, that each of them were to be, it was kind of the expectation that they're holding them up, and whoever the Lord put his blessing on, that the fire would come down and light the incense in their censer. But we see instead what happened. The earth swallowed up Dathan and Abiram and Korah. And then the fire came down. Instead of consuming the incense, it consumed the men that offered the incense, and all their censers fell to the ground. They took the censers out of the burning, and they were hallowed in judgment, and they were to be a covering for the altar. And so the Lord does this. And we see that the Lord was merciful, because in verse 21 he said unto Moses and Aaron, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their face and said, O God, the God of all the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? That again, they interceded on behalf of their people, and God was merciful. But then we see later on in the same chapter, it says, but on the morrow after all this, all the children of the congregation, the children of Israel, murmured against Moses, against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses And against Aaron, as he looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. Moses spake unto Moses, saying, Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly into the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took his Moses' command and ran in the midst of the congregation. Behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. And it's the thought of it that they again interceding on behalf of the people. And we understand that the whole idea of incense, it's symbolic of prayer in the Bible. And there was this idea that they stood between the dead and the living. That is something that we recognize as believers, that we're to intercede on behalf of those around us, pray for the lost, pray that God would have mercy upon them. And we think of it just as with Moses, that he said, well, everyone's going to be destroyed with this, that we need to do something about it. We need to stand in between, stand in the gap between, and that God would be merciful. And that's what we think of it, that essentially the sentence of death is upon all men, all of sin come short of the glory of God, the wages of sin is death. And that is what we're doing, is stand between the dead and the living, that we're trying to save some from the burning, pull them out of the fire. And so may the Lord help us in that, that we would be people of prayer, so the Lord would bless us in that. All right, so that's the lesson for tonight.